Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, hey, all you band geeks and acapella dorks. This is the week for you. Hey, everybody. Kevin Goatee, gutting the sacred cow. Well, finally, someone made me break down and watch a film I had no desire to see, and that is Pitch Perfect. Who is that person? Lana Schwartz. That's who. She's going to make me watch a film that, you know what, let's go in with an open mind because this is something that would be nowhere near my radar whatsoever. And so who did I help recruit to get me to sit through this? Why, band geek slash Glee TV show fan extraordinaire Kevin Israel is going to sit down and see if Pitch Perfect really is worse than that Red Sox Jimmy Fallon film, Fever Pitch. Because you think I'm going to watch a film with Jimmy Fallon that deals with the Red Sox? Actually, let's narrow that down. Do you think I'm going to watch a film about the Boston Red Sox? No. Well, let's see if Lana Schwartz gets me to her side to say that Pitch Perfect is pitch poopy.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. Some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter, cause we're good in the sacred cow.
I'm all Glengarry for me and my friend here, and if you tell that bartender to go extra easy in the water, this 50 cent piece has your name all over it. Now I'll be timing you. 1, 2, 3. Kevin Israel. Oh, everyone. Let me tell you, everyone thinks that you're full-time back. I love that rumor, by the way.
I know. I get Delvin Cox messages me every time I do an episode. And he's like, you're teasing us. And I'm like, I come back once a month. That's what you need to know.
It's more than, but that's fine.
All right, whatever.
Kevin Israel, what film is that from?
I have no idea. You said something about Glengarry. So I was going to say Glengarry, Glen Ross. But
a malt Glengarry is a drink.
No. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Lana Schwartz is our guest tonight. Lana, I'll give you a second read so maybe you can catch that. A malt Glengarry for my friend and me and my friend here. And if you tell that bartender to go extra easy on the water, this 50 cent piece has your name on it. Now I'll be timing you. 1, 2, 3.
My only guess is Risky Business.
No, we actually just did that on the podcast a few weeks ago. The answer, Kevin Israel, it's a little off the beaten path, but I know you've seen that film, is Swingers.
I haven't seen Swingers in a long, long time.
Really? Wow.
I bet it's over 10 years.
Good God. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel here. We are back gutting the sacred cow, the best damn movie review slash movie debate podcast out there, where we invite guests to pick a film they find overrated or hate, and try to convince us to see their argument. But here's the twist. The film must be one of these criteria: widely beloved, critically acclaimed, or a financial success. Why do I say that? Because YouTube algorithm needs some kind of description. Let's introduce our guest. Lana Schwartz has chosen a film that I know is going to anger all the female listeners, 8 of you, and the musical nerd component they may or may not have. And that is 2012's Pitch Perfect, a budget at the time of $17 million, a box office haul of $115.4 million. Turn that into 2023 money, $22.5 million budget, $152.8 million gross. Pretty solid ROI there, KI.
Man, not too bad. Not too bad for a movie about kids singing.
Yeah, those theater geeks showed up in full force for this one. IMDb, as we all know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. My guest, Lana Schwartz, what do you think Pitch Perfect scored on the old IMDb?
8.7.
8.7. Kevin Israel.
7.1.
One of you is dead nuts on and has won both both showcases on the Fabulous Price is Right. Kevin Israel, come on down. 7.1 on the
note. Yeah. I haven't gotten one of those in a while.
No, man. Those are the tougher ones, too. Critics, Rotten Tomatoes, as we know, that scale is 1 through 100. I'll go to you, Kevin Israel. What did the critics give Pitch Perfect?
79.
Lana Schwartz.
82.
Ooh, you two are just goose-stepping around it. It's right smack in the middle. 81%.
All right.
Nice. I go back to you, Lana Schwartz. What did the audience give this film? Rotten Tomatoes, same scale, 1 through 100.
I'm going to say 74.
Kevin Israel.
85.
83. Wow. Audience and critics damn near simpatico. Quotes, my dad says, if not, we're not going to win, get the hell out of Iraq. I don't know why that caught me, but it made me laugh. DJs, you know, the deaf Jews. Thought that was clever. Last one. I asked for hot Bellas, not a barnyard explosion. Lana Schwartz, what quotes jumped out at you?
Okay, because I feel like the reason why I picked this, part of why I picked this is because I remember the cultural sensation around it so well. And part of why I picked it is because I remember the quotes. But then rewatching it, I didn't feel like the quotes were that great. Like when Amy's like, oh, sometimes I think I could do crystal meth. And then I think, better not. Like that's, I feel like, a big quote from the movie. That stood out at me. And then when she gets hit by the burrito and says, I've been shot, you know, that also was a big one. Yeah. And then I feel like there was, and then she says that she calls herself Fat Amy, so skinny. Skinny bitches don't say it behind her back.
Skinny twig bitches.
A lot of Rebel Wilson in there. Yeah. I remember those being like the quotes and me thinking, do I think these are good quotes? Yes and no.
Kevin Israel, what jumped out at you, pal?
Women are about as good at acapella as they are at being doctors. organized nerd singing. And I had twig bitches. And then the one quote that I thought was like, with Lana's point, but like a famous quote, was not a good enough reason to use the word penetration.
Five fun facts. Apparently some wires got crossed when Divine, that's the lead guy from the Troublemakers, was called into audition. That or Divine has embellished the story of casting a little bit. He said that he thought Pitch Perfect was a baseball movie and had not prepared a song for his audition. I don't believe that for 1 second.
Nah, he should fire his agent if that's true.
Right. And besides, no one who watches sports would ever have has ever heard the term Pitch Perfect when discussing baseball. As a baseball aficionado, this doesn't happen. So on the spot, he decided to choose to sing the theme song from what show? Full House. Not a bad audible.
I was hoping for Gummy Bears.
It'd be cool if he just did the instrumental for Knight Rider.
Or You Got the Touch.
That would be very, very acapella-esque, you know?
Yes. Or if he just recited the voiceover for the A-Team in 1972, a crack commando unit went back, and he goes, din, 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 din. Number two, Amy Poehler and Kristen Wiig were considered for Elizabeth Banks' role. I should have made you try and guess that one. While Becca's at the college fair, students are playing Quidditch in the background.
Oh,
nerds!
Wow.
It angers me when you see them playing a fake game like that and they gallop on broomsticks.
You've seen people playing Quidditch?
Oh, there is a park by my house where I go running or I go on my bike. Big open field, cricket. It's a cricket field. I've seen people put up the hoops and they run around like they're galloping on fake horses.
I would
horses.
Videotape that all day long.
I put it up there and I made fun of it and one woman goes, at least they're not on their phones or playing video games.
To which I say, I think that would actually be preferred. Number four, Cups was never supposed to be in the soundtrack. Anna Kendrick told Collider she heard about the song through Reddit, and after the producers saw her perform it, they ditched her weird I'm a Little Teacup performance in place of that.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Esther Dean, number five, who plays Cynthia Rose, is a major force in the music industry. She has co-written songs for everyone from Beyonce to Katy Perry. She performs Rihanna's S&M in the Riff Off, a song she helped write in real life. Tell me she has a writer's credit for that, and I'll say, which private island in the Caribbean do you own? I could see that these were not as fun facts for you as I thought.
I had a very good time. I was having fun on the inside. Oh.
All right. Yeah, I enjoyed them. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, they were a stretch for me to try and find ones that were not the same ones over and over. Let's go to Ask a Gutter. At Ken Bjorn Turner Bjorn the Viking, why does someone hate Pitch Perfect? He goes, maybe because they hate music? Hate creativity?
I will say that's very funny because I love music, and I think that's why initially this movie appealed to me, because of the music aspect. I don't like the movie because I think it's really mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Which I'll get into more later, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You definitely heard the show. Save it for the good stuff.
Yeah.
Next one, at Newark Night, good old Brandon Oglesby. It's been a little bit fun since we saw you, buddy. Missed you. Does the story stand on its own, or is it carried by people's love for the song list?
See, I think this movie, if you wanted to make a time capsule of 2012, you would show someone this movie. So I think is such a perfect encapsulation of our culture at the time. Do those songs hold up? Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His follow-up question is, I know the gutter thinks this movie is overrated. Does that extend to the cast as well? And if so, why?
I think that the cast, is okay. Very okay cast. And I think that is demonstrated by what each of them have gone on to continue to do.
Ooh, I like that. Good points. At Pedestrian, man, this one is hard to talk about. The legions of a cappella that followed in its wake, just the worst. Statement, but not a question. Nonetheless, enjoyed it.
They're not wrong.
At Nemirovsky, if the studio released a cut of the film with the live performances by the actors, no overdubbing or auto-tune, would this film actually be funny?
No.
Why do I think you were going to say that, Lana? call me a soothsayer. At Rex Crumb, I believe this is the movie that truly unleashed Rebel Wilson upon America. What would you give Australia to take her back and keep her?
I feel like it hasn't been a concern because she's not as much of a force as she once was. You know, I think we can broker an agreement, like a peace treaty, or like divorced parents. You know, I think that would be fine at this point, based on what she's up to.
We'll send her back along with a copy of Young Einstein and Crocodile Dundee's 2 and 3.
Young Einstein.
You like that?
Man, Yahoo's exactly. Serious.
Yeah, the one and only. Yeah. send those two sequels of Crocodile Dundee back along with her. I think we have ourselves a fair trade. We'll keep Nicole Kidman. She's still very much a veritable force. Next, at Joe Loves Kim, is this the right place to seek validation for loving Cups? Miss me when I'm gone, in parentheses. 10 times more than my wife and 5-year-old?
No, wrong place. I'm sorry.
I like the cut of your gym. I do. No, sorry, Joe. Fuck off. We got it.
No, that I find that I find the Cups thing. We'll get into it later.
I fully believe it. And that's going to close Ask a Gutter. Pretty, I guess people are going to sit. Hopefully they don't sit this one out. I thought this was a great choice because musicals usually don't find their way onto this podcast, unless, of course, the sole reason to torture me. And here we are. So on to the plug section because, hey, no one listens to the end of podcast. Lana Shorts, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at character actress Lana Shorts and on Twitter at underscore Lanabelle. I don't know why I chose my handles like this. I have a book that you can buy. It's called Build Your Own Romantic Comedy. Other than that, just generally performing around New York City, that sort of thing. I have a monthly show, Francis and Lewis, that is taking a little bit of a break, but should be back in later this summer.
KevinIsrael.com. I know that's a hot spot for all shenanigans, debauchery, tomfoolery, and general horseplay.
That's about it. That's where my dates are. I got some July and August dates coming in, and then looking forward to a busier fall as comedy picks back up.
We love when you write those 5-star ratings for Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast, so please do so on all your 5-star ratings, 2- or 3-sentence reviews, you know the drill, on all your podcast platforms of choice, YouTube. Just do us a favor and smash that like button and like all the social media posts. It's so dumb, but it really does help the algorithm. GuttingTheSacredCow at gmail.com. And of course, Gutting the Sacred Cow, if you wish to buy a sweet ass hat, coffee mug, shirt, hoodie, I don't know, thong bag for Kevin Israel. There he is. He's got his coffee mug right there. I should be wearing my shirt too, but I'm not. That's cool. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Kevin Israel, I think Lana's ready to come out here and just bust her hymen, metaphorically, of course.
Wow.
On
wow.
This, that's why I said metaphorically.
Call HR. Yeah.
I am HR. Remember Judge Dredd was still alive?
I am HR.
What a terrible film. Let's have her come out here and do what she wants to do. And I know that is time to
gut
the sacred
cow.
That sounded amazing.
It sounded perfect on my end.
Right?
It sounded absolutely in sync.
Take it away, Lana.
Okay. So I feel like I got to start out by saying I initially enjoyed this movie when I first saw it in theaters 2012. I think because I liked the singing, I liked the music. It was cool to watch them, to get kind of a behind the scenes of a cappella, if that makes sense. Because in when I was in college, a cappella was kind of a big deal. We had a cappella groups that would sell out like our lecture halls or whatever, our theaters. And like, you know, there were a bunch on campus and they were their own subculture, but it wasn't lame exactly. You know what I mean? not lame exactly, which is how the movie positions it as well. So I feel like I went to at my college, the male a cappella group was called the Y Chromes. I went to some Y Chromes parties. I listened to their music. So I got it, you know, whatever. But that being said, I feel like also at the time I like was aware of I knew who Kay Cannon was, who wrote the movie 30 Rock writer. And it kind of felt like, oh, this is her Mean Girls. Because Mean Girls was also based on a book. And I was like, this is how she transitions into movies. Cool. Fine. That being said, in the last few years, anytime I would catch it or think about it, I'd be like, yikes. Especially because they made two more of them. There are 3 of these movies.
And a TV show.
There's a TV. Are you talking about Glee?
Nope. There's a TV show based off of Bumper.
Oh, you're right. I forgot.
He goes to Germany. Peacock. I watched the first episode.
That is what we all want, to see Adam Devine as this character go to Germany. Why not? I love to live in 2023. Anyway, sorry. But from the beginning, immediately, this movie comes out so nasty in a way that like is perfectly 2012, in that it's like ironic racism and ironic sexism. Like immediately with her roommate, who she's so hostile to, who like is an Asian woman, Kimmy Jin. And like we're at one point later on,
it doesn't get more of an Asian name than that one, by the way.
Yeah. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. You know, yeah, she doesn't talk. If she does talk, she's aggressive. We're supposed to feel bad when she calls Anna Kendrick the white girl. Why? why would I feel sorry for that, for Anna Kendrick in this situation? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's just insane. And literally Anna Kendrick starts with going, no English, yes English, just tell me where you're at with English. Like, incredibly, like, offensive. And I don't think, this movie, 2012, I think we were past that by then. And I want to say also, I don't know if something happened with the studio where they said, be more racist, be more sexist. I don't know, but it's upsetting to watch. But I also wrote, I hate that Ben Platt is maybe the funniest part of this movie, because I don't know if you're familiar with his work or not.
Oh, yeah, big Broadway star. He's won a Tony.
Yes. Speaking
you,
of...
Wow, look at you digging on that knowledge side of that.
My wife is a huge Broadway fan.
Oh, boy. My condolences to you.
Mine as well. Because speaking of unleashing people on the world, I was telling a friend about this, and she said this is the movie that unleashed Ben Platt on the world.
It
but
is.
I do think he is kind of funny in it, if I'm going to be honest. The magic thing is one of the few comedy bits that I think is kind of fun, whatever. But I wrote, she's so cool. Like, Anna Kendrick is supposed to be so cool, so alt, because she wants to be a DJ. One of the arguably the lamest things a person could want to be, you know? and I guess this is at a time when DJs were becoming in the culture, but I don't want to sit there and watch her mash up I Would Walk 500 Miles with Bulletproof. Also, one of the worst smash-ups I've heard in my life.
When you take I Would Walk 500 Miles, I'm already out. That song is terrible. That song is trash. Oh, I'm halfway
I hate
gone.
You. Shut your mouth. I hope that microphone explodes. I love it.
So are you telling me, like, you have a special affinity in your heart for that episode of How I Met Your Mother where they had the cassette stuck in the car?
I didn't watch
song?
The show. But I was in Ireland in a bar. And they started playing that song, and the entire bar almost exploded.
I'd rather it have exploded the Chumbawambas. I get knocked down, but I get up again, because both songs are equally dumb. But anyway, to each his own. That's fine. I'm sorry, Lana. We just have a little tangent here.
I just, like, it's so funny that we're supposed to believe she's so cool. She's so disaffected because she has some piercings in her ears and she wears a lot of eyeliner. Like, come on. It's so lame.
She has tattoos.
Dad, yeah. She has a lot of tattoos for an 18-year-old. I did notice that.
An 18-year-old going on 35.
Yeah. Her dad is hot. I felt the need to say that.
Oh,
I was
right.
Distracted. I was like, wow, he's good looking. But it's just like, I wrote, I need to get a job and move to LA and start paying my dues. He's in her room, but they are also in Exposition Central. Because I was like, okay, sure. But, like, it's so funny, like, because, like, she doesn't. And it's fine. I know this movie doesn't have to talk to us about, like, what classes is she taking? You know what I mean? What classes are any of them taking? And I get that that's not important in a way, but they make college look really not fun. You know, they don't
that's
go to
so
parties.
True.
Really.
There's nothing in there that's, oh my God, that's a great point. It's all just, it's boring as shit. At least Animal House, another PCU, another old school.
Oh, PCU is such a great movie.
Fun, you know, fun shit is abound. This is almost like it's a fucking morgue.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, not, I don't know. There's something about it. Like, I feel like it's not fun. Yeah. Like, it's not fun. Like, the way they go to college, the way, and I know it's supposed to be, like, stressful or whatever, what they're doing, but it's not any kind of joy to watch them, really, especially because the whole character's whole thing is that she doesn't want to be doing it, you know? And also, it's so weird to me, Skylar, they start college and Skylar Astin is immediately obsessed with her. Immediately.
Yeah. Oh, I have notes on that.
And he spends a whole year pursuing her. And I'm like, my guy, you're in college. Calm the fuck down. It just feels like so exhausting. And also, I'm sorry, the cups thing. I'm sorry to whoever wrote that in. The cups thing is so stupid. And I knew about the cup game, you know, the clap, clap, whatever, that you, it's a game that predates this movie. But her sitting down and being like, I don't know. I didn't prepare anything. I don't care about anything. I want to be a DJ. It's like, shut up. Like, it's not really fun to watch someone who doesn't want anything really, or what they want is so intangible that it's in another state, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Her angst with, as you pointed out, the Hot Topic-esque ear piercings just didn't buy it for me. I was like, I'm not. Anna Kendrick couldn't wait to get that shit off her ears in the in between takes. Like, no, this is not me. And this doesn't mean that you're a badass or, you know, something of special. That's for sure.
Yeah. And for how mad she is at her dad for divorcing her mom, she never talks about her mom, right? Like, she's just like, she's not there or present. She's just mad at her dad. It's like not even really clear what she loves about DJing either, or what she loves about music, because she hates everything, you know? And like another thing, she doesn't like movies, which is one of the most insane qualities for a person to have, to just straight up not like movies.
Amen, sister. Yeah. Hence our podcast about films.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so weird to not like have any just. And then so the whole movie is so mean. They're like making fun of Cynthia Rose. Like, they're saying she's a lesbian, whatever, that sort of thing. They're like, you know, the other Asian woman doesn't speak at an audible volume for almost the whole movie. You know, it just feels so mean spirited in a way that, like, I feel like it's like girls can hate each other too. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like any character is treated, I guess, except Anna Kendrick, like with care in a way, if that makes sense.
True. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, and so, okay. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, because I feel like what really does it for me in a way is like, she says to her dad, like, it does, like, I like these girls. And I'm like, based on what? None of you seem to get along. There's one scene where you sing Party in the USA. Otherwise, you fight all the time. And we never see you hang out or build camaraderie, really. You know?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. All right. I'm saving it for my notes. Go ahead. Okay. Sorry. I'll get that.
Kevin's itching.
So I guess what I will say, what I do feel like works for me about this movie, is I do think Skylar Astin is very good in it. He's very charming, very well cast. I feel bad that the thing I'm pointing to is the guy. And I get that there's like, you know, it's good to have some physical broad comedy, but it feels like so broad, you know? And like, I feel like, because I recently rewatched The House Bunny. Have either of you seen that?
Oh my God, I saw that once. I've never.
Yeah. No. Jeez. Anna Faris.
Yeah.
Another college campus movie from this era that I think achieves what this movie would like to achieve. It's very fun.
She moved in with like nerds, right?
Yeah, she moves in with it. She's like, had been a Playboy bunny. She moves in with these girls who are losers and helps them to become popular.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like the comedy that they achieve in that movie, which I'm sure not all of it holds up perfectly, it feels more silly and fun and has more heart than this movie does. Because, yeah, it feels like kind of bleak in a way, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know,
I get,
you know, the stakes are set up really well. Her dad wants her to try something. You know, she has to try. If she has to try, if it doesn't work, she can go to LA. Fine. I get that. But then it's like, it makes no sense that she doesn't even, like, care that much about classes at all. Studying maybe like music theory. I don't know. It feels strange. That part feels a little strange to me, I guess. I feel like they all must have flunked out of their classes, but one thing I think that's really interesting about this movie is that, because this is fun facts, Skylar Astin and Anna Camp were married. They got divorced, but they met on this movie and they got married, got divorced. And then a bunch of them still seem to hang out. So I wonder if they kept making these just because the cast seemed to have a good time. Like, For as not fun it is as it is to watch it, I guess they had fun. And
I
want to
say,
nice.
I want to say that I saw like the making of the second one or an interview with someone, and they actually kind of alluded to that. They were like, yeah, "We all got along so good. Even if it's not good, it's we have fun with each other." Yeah. So I don't think you're that far off the mark.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Israel, you've made an absolute abundance of watching shitty movies on Netflix that are like made for Netflix films. But you've just re-raised and pushed all your chips in the middle of the pot when you said,
wait till I watch the making of this movie. Wait till I get to my notes, Kev. Wait till I get my notes.
You have zero regard for time, and I'm flummoxed by this. Continue.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. So I think I just felt like there were a lot of unnecessary drive-bys in the movie in terms of comments they make towards people that felt unnecessary, not fun, mean-spirited. But I do feel like it's that 2012 era of comedy, you know?
Makes me feel so old to hear you say that.
Doesn't
2012,
it?
Like way back in 2012. We had horses and buggies, and we were racists.
You know, it's funny. We make that joke, but I wrote this down. I'll cheat to one section of my notes. Mm-hmm. She's got a goddamn Bluetooth little thing.
Yeah,
in her ear.
I said when she was exercising. I said that to my wife.
and they have not flip phones, but like the Razors or whatever. Yes. Like,
she had a BlackBerry. She was killing on a BlackBerry.
Yeah, it's right before iPhone. I go, oh, yeah.
One of them had an iPhone. Somebody pulled out it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's the first iPhone.
Okay. Because no. I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's, I was like, ooh, I thought this movie fell until I did the research. Like, oh, I thought it was more recent than 2012. But I was like, this is 11 years old already. Goddamn, we are getting old fast, Kevin Israel.
Yeah. I feel it every day.
I like that you always say his first and last name, even though clearly you wouldn't mean yourself. You know what I mean?
There are two Kevins on this podcast, but yes.
But she, and also the other thing with Anna Camp, throwing up everywhere. I'm like, I get that it's not supposed to be funny, but I'm like, that girl doesn't eat enough to have that much vomit in her body, I don't think. You know? Like, there were just so many like little things that I was like, I'm bummed. Like, I don't feel good. I feel bummed out. And like, I feel like in terms of the music, I was like,
I just want to say back to that throw up point. You make a great point because you're right. That's about two Crave cases from White Castle's worth of vomit there. That's not like an Akai smoothie, which she can only have one and a half of those per day for sustenance.
Yeah. No, it was like that. And also I was like, does she have a nerves thing? Because she just throws up everywhere and then they don't really address it. You know, until the end. And I'm like, oh, is she really nervous? But it doesn't seem like she has stage fright. She's just constantly swallowing a lot of bile, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Extreme acid reflux or something. But two other things I will say. I didn't realize that Kether Donahue was in this movie, who I love from You're the Worst. And she's in the very beginning. She's like the bitchy senior.
That's right.
Yeah. Great actress. Feels very wasted here. But she also was not known at all in 2012. And then also in terms of the music, I was like, I hope I never hear this Ace of Base song ever again. But I do think like they did a fun thing. Like the music is fun enough, I guess. They have nice voices, but like trying to get all of us into like the idea of mashups is very funny. But
I like how you listen. Bad news. If you ever have any kind of streaming service, you're going to hear commercials that feature the signs that you can't skip past.
Yeah. God, I hate it.
That song is ubiquitous. Yeah. It's going nowhere.
Every time my son wants to watch a different YouTube video, I have to watch that commercial.
Yeah. Mine. That's all I know too. My daughter. Exactly. Yeah. Does that do it, Lana Schwartz, or is there anything else?
I think that's it for now. Okay. I might have things that come to mind as both of you.
Sure.
Give me
a number 1 to 10, your thoughts on this film.
God.
You just swallowed a big burp.
I feel like a three.
I like it.
Really don't.
Kevin Israel just tipped his hand on this one. Well, let's go right to the guy who has a bad poker face. Kevin Israel, let's hear it, pal.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So this is a weird one for me to review for a variety of reasons. First of all, this is the least amount of notes I've ever taken on any movie, and Goatee writes out like the Magna Carta in notes, and I usually just write some bullets. I took very few notes on this. I also want to take a step back and give an idea of the lens I'm looking at this movie through. I was as many of the listeners know, and if you don't, I was a marching band nerd for most of my high school career. I almost went into it in college until the friends I quickly made in college, like literally physically stopped me from joining the marching band in college. So I get this kind of this sort of community they're trying to build and how insular it is. And like, once you have this big group of people who might be like social rejects, but there's enough of them that they just build a wall around themselves and they go, well, we don't care what you think of us because we all think we're cool. And that's so I kind of get it that like the irony that like what we might look at and be like, these are weird. Like they're so into this. This is so weird. But they don't care because there's enough of them that they get to live in their own little ecosystem. So I kind of get what the movie's building. I also have a real weakness for movies about singing or dancing. Because to me, they're superpowers. I can't sing and I can't dance. And I'm so hyper aware of it at all times. Like when dancing breaks out in a wedding, I get like physically nervous because I know I'm such a bad dancer. So whenever there's a movie about like dancing or singing, I'm always like, well, they might as well be X-Men because those like that's a power that doesn't even exist within me. So like movies like Stomp the Yard or The Last Dance.
Those are good movies.
Yeah, but my like anytime that's a I'm just immediately even drum and I was a drummer, even Drumline. Like I just watch it and I'm like, this is like watching somebody like have a skill or learn a skill and get better. There's just something immediately appealing to me about that. So this movie, I knew about a cappella because I'd seen it once in college. And I remember we had to go to some presentation of something. And the school, and mind you, this is 1997. And the group came out and they started singing. And I remember looking at my friend standing next to me and going, I guess the system must be broken and they're not using the instruments. And he goes, I think it's supposed to be like this. And I was like, why? Like, it made no sense. So that was, I mean, I really had no exposure to a cappella, but I think I saw this in the theater. I think I went on a date and saw this in a theater.
I know you threw that. I was on a date just to make it up.
Well, it wasn't like I went by myself. I was like, you know, I got to see this movie, but I'm pretty sure
hey,
I saw
guys, it's my birthday, guys. Group effort. Come on.
Hey, dudes, before we go to the bar, let's all go watch Pitch Perfect. But and I got to tell you, in my recollection, up till last night when I rewatched this movie, I always remember really liking this movie. And anytime it's on cable, I'll always flip over to it and watch a scene or two and then, you know, turn away from it. And this is the other weird experience with this movie. In my mind, Lana, I don't know if you heard this description on our podcast before. This to me passed the remote test, which is Kevin Goatee coined it, is any movie where when it's on, you just stop and you can watch it from any point. And but what I didn't realize is this doesn't pass the remote test, because while I'll watch a scene or two, I'll never watch the whole movie through. Because the only scenes I like in this movie are the scenes where there's music, because I really do think I do think the idea of the a cappella and creating music with just your voices and especially the end performance. And I also like the that weird game they play in the middle that my wife told me last night is apparently a improv game that they turned into an a cappella game, which I had no idea. So I always think that I liked this movie. Like, I always really think that I like this movie. I probably haven't watched this movie from start to finish since I saw it the first time. And so watching it last night, I was stunned because this is a fucking terrible movie. It's so bad. It's so bad for all of the reasons that movies are bad. And listen, I get your point about it being mean. That didn't strike out to me, I guess, because I'm an asshole. But and you know what? To your point, I guess if it's almost not mean enough. Like, I think if a movie is going to be a mean movie, lean into it. Be a really shitty, like, make the people really shitty. Yeah. This was more almost like to me, like, you called out the stuff with the Asians. There were like three anti-Semitic jokes in the movie, and it was just like casual. And then she's like, "I'm growing in my Jew locks." And I was like, "What the fuck? How did they? The writers were like, "You know what? Yeah, in Hollywood, this is gonna do really the deaf Jew." Like, what? Like,
was why? Still a deaf Jew wasn't anti-Semitic? Come on!
But it was just such a weird.
The part that was not good, not the deaf Jew part itself, when he tries to say shalom.
Oh, when he goes, that's not a word.
That was the anti-Semitic part.
Yeah. That's the line. The
screenwriters probably go, hey, you know what? Remember when Borat made fun of Jews for 90 minutes? We can do that with a fat girl from Australia for 45 seconds. Go.
Yeah, it was just so awkward. And the story itself, and Lana, you pointed out a lot of it, is pieced together so badly with so many holes. First of all, I joked about it a second ago, and they do this in almost every college movie. They all look like they're in their 30s, but like offensively old. Come on, Kev, you knew. I know.
Yeah,
you knew that was coming. Yeah. It's ridiculous. The male lead, the love interest, whose name I'm blanking on,
Skylar Astin.
Is like his hair is receding. Like he's
yes,
he's 36 in this. Like he's old.
By the way, everybody looks. That's a perfect like gay porn name, Skylar. Yeah,
it is really a good A S S T I N. Yeah, Ben Platt looks, and Ben Platt even has a baby face, but he still looks too old to be in college. That's all bad. The biggest question that I had when I was watching it, I kept looking at my wife and I went, it makes no sense. Why did Skylar Astin join a cappella? He made fun of it the entire time. He made fun of it to Ben Platt's character. And then just suddenly he shows up at the auditions with no explanation why, and then just becomes a member of it and stops shitting on it. There's just like everything the characters are set up to do, they do the opposite, and it's like, don't ask why. This is just because the plot needs to move forward. It's ridiculous. There's no chemistry between anybody in this movie, and there's just so many random things, like I'm just blanking on everybody's name right now. Australian girl goes up to Bumper.
Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson.
I know two names. That's one of the two.
Fat Amy. Yeah.
Yeah. When Fat Amy goes up to Bumper in the initiation part and is like, and that he's like, so I guess we're going to kiss. It was like, you just called her the most disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I get that it was supposed to be like, either if he was supposed to be drunk, he was playing a terrible drunk. And if it was supposed to be like, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I kind of want to make out with you. That also wasn't communicated. It's just all these weird, like, character development. It's so fucking weird. I apologize. I watched this and I was like, I have nothing, no notes to take about this because it was so bad. The two who were supposed to be like the best in class judges, fucking what's her name? She made the movie.
Elizabeth Banks
and what's his name? Yeah. Their commentary, some of it was the best parts of the movie. When she said her group's name was the Minstrel Cycles, mm-hmm. I was like, that's the best line. That was the best line in this movie. Yeah. And he was pretty funny. But then there was other stuff where it was just like, ugh, it was so bad. Mm-hmm. And it was also kind of mean, but not mean enough. Like, if they were supposed to be assholes, make them real assholes. But instead, they made them these like weird. It was just like this movie just didn't want to lean into itself. Like, if you're going to go cartoony for everybody. Like the whole, like you said, first of all, I hate throw up. I hate throw up jokes. I don't think it's funny. I think it's gross. But if you're gonna make somebody throw
that's
up,
that's where the line is. Shit jokes, fart jokes, or the or great
fart and shit. Fine, throw up is just disgusting.
Wow.
But if you're gonna make somebody throw up like a fountain, then everybody else has to live within the world of something like that being able to exist. And it wasn't like cartoonish enough. Mm-hmm. It was just this movie didn't know what it wanted to be, and it stumbled through its plot just to get to the end where you knew they were going to win. Like it was that's obviously where this was going. You were dead on about their like, why do they suddenly all become friends? Nothing happens to justify this sudden friendship. When she suddenly gives her the flute or the whistle or whatever it was. It was like, why? What happened? She didn't do anything. They didn't see anything. Like nothing. There was nothing to make all of this happen. And I hate movies with shitty stories when the story doesn't make sense. And Kevin's probably tired of me hearing this, of hearing me say this.
Character development.
Yeah, character. It's all to me, a movie's all about characters. There weren't any great characters in this movie, so it should have had a good enough plot. Or more music, or and it's funny. One of you called this a musical. I wouldn't call this movie a musical, but it should have had more music. That was the best part of the movie was the music and watching them make a cappella mashups. Should have had more of that and less of the shitty plot that didn't make sense and anybody didn't care about. I'll end with this, and this is what makes me feel very old. Lana, you called her father hot. I don't know what the fuck is going on in the world these days, but I was brought up in the 80s, and I was raised, and Kevin and I were raised with a very specific understanding of what is an attractive man in our head, and that's no fault of ours. It's what it was breeding. The people that women suddenly find attractive, it's just mind numbing to me. I had a legitimate heated debate with a girl this week who's, I think, in her later 20s about Pete Davidson being hot.
Oh, she's, are you shitting me? If she doesn't know he has if she doesn't know he has a horse cock, there's
obviously has a hammer.
That's fine. But there's no. You can. It is insurmountable argument to make.
Kev, I wish I videotaped this.
You should have called me, and they're like Mariano Rivera.
she was like, you know, and she was like genuinely, and I was like, wait, handsome? And she's like, oh yeah, if you put him in a suit, he's handsome. I was like, he's not handsome. He's like George Clooney is handsome. He's not handsome.
He looks like he looks like a feral meek rat.
Yeah. So I just want to say to the three women that listen to this podcast, what the fuck is happening?
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm in a lost ship in a giant sea of misunderstanding. And I spent 37 years of my life in the gym for no reason.
I quickly have to say, me finding the dad in Pitch Perfect hot is not the same thing as that girl thinking Pete Davidson is hot. And
I disagree.
They are extremely different types of men. And I think I have to admit that I watched Dirty Dancing as a child and had a crush on Jerry Orbach. So like,
oh my God, you got daddy issues.
No, that's the weird thing. My dad and I. My dad is not absent at all.
I would have fucked Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing.
I'm not.
Goddamn Ronald Reagan in Point Break. Bodie, yes.
I'm not saying he's not hot. He's extremely hot. I had a crush on Jerry Orbach.
Jerry Orbach looks like fucking Babe Ruth's glove from 1927 with his mouth.
He's hot. He's a good-looking guy.
Are you into guys who look like he sells insurance and chain smokes the entire time?
And he gave that girl the abortion she needed.
Okay. So do doctors. We have to sleep with all your doctors.
Nothing sexier than birth control.
Jerry Orbach, even his wife didn't find him hot when he was alive.
Kevin, don't discount preventative medicine.
If my doctor looked like Jerry Orbach, I would fuck him if I had a male doctor.
You just slide right out of those stirrups of Jerry Orbach.
Absolutely.
I stand by my statement. I'm so confused with what's going on in the world. And I'm using Lana. Lana, you are the test case for all women right now. Hold on. And I know I should answer this. And if you don't want to ask you this, but I know if you don't want to answer, how old are you?
How old am I? I'm 33.
Okay. So you're significantly younger than us.
Okay. Yes. But yeah. I think I have weird taste. Is my point.
You don't see, I don't know. I don't think so.
Jerry Orbach is fucking weird.
Okay, that's weird.
That's weird.
But I feel, I genuinely feel, and Koti, you can fucking edit this all out. Uh-huh. I feel like the standard of what makes a man hot has evolved into something that I can't wrap my head around. And I feel like the train has left the station and I'm just standing there going, where it's, my luggage was on that.
I think Pete Davidson is like, I don't like feel about him the way other women do, but I think that's not like a new thing. It's like wild card, weirdo,
damaged,
you know what I mean?
Damaged goods. That's what it is. The broken wing on the sparrow. You're going to mend him up.
Yeah, it's the classic, I can fix him.
I made that argument in this discussion, mm-hmm. and she said, no, he's hot.
If he's like, hot, because I
physically hot.
Now, this is what I do with guys, with women who have subjective. I mean, it's all subjective. We all know that. But who make questionable choices. So, like, some, for example, someone says Natalie Portman is hot. I go, no, she's not. Natalie Portman is hot, what is Salma Hayek? What is Emily Ratajkowski? What is Halle Berry? Because that's hot. If you want to say Natalie Portman is cute, sure. Knock yourself out. But you can't use that same word for that. Pete Davidson is not in the same category as George fucking Clooney.
Yeah. I think it's a branding thing, because I think, like, you would say Natalie Portman is beautiful or pretty. But I don't know. Yeah. But I think it's different how she also has always positioned herself.
Yeah, I agree.
Too.
Right.
I think
if you grabbed 100 dudes and they said, and you said, give me your top 10 hottest, Natalie Portman maybe makes one of their lists. Does not have that. Boy, we went off on a fucking.
Anywho, sorry about that. Sorry about
Devin Israel, give me a number.
4.
These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where all the aforementioned merch you can find. And what the hell, leave us a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review. We appreciate that. And to advertise, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. Notes! Acapella groups, improv troops, Eagles fans, and New York drivers who stay in the left-hand lane doing 55 miles an hour in the Jersey Turnpike. That's the four horsemen of the apocalypse for me.
Fair.
I feel like I need to take a shower after watching a male acapella group. And ironically, I wrote this down. You can put Anna Kendrick in that same category as Natalie Portman and Emma Stone. Cute and sprightly with a weird overbite.
Yeah, I think there's something about her that I find more attractive than the other two. But anyway.
A Star Wars roommate seems about as much fun as a Star Trek roommate, except the Star Wars roommate would get laid more. Ha! Sick burn! Take that, Trekkie nerds! Anna Kendrick in real life looks like she loves bragging that she does not own a TV.
I hate something, those people.
Oh, the worst. Like, you jump behind enemy lines and were shot down over the fucking the 55th parallel, wherever that is. No, you're not a hero, assholes. Something tells me Kevin Israel's fraternity regularly did acapella showcases.
Something tells me we did not.
10 minutes in, and there are no black people at this college. Okay, that's real.
There was one, and she was a lesbian.
Well, we got to that later. I can only imagine if these acapella dorks started jazz handing in front of the black fraternity, they would get their unicycles wrapped around their necks and their pitch pipe jammed into their pharynx. Rebel Wilson looks like Jonah Hill in a wig. But I wish the both of them would start a breakdancing duo and make the long-awaited sequel, Breaking 3, Electric Boogaloo, again. Becca's dad, a.k.a. Lana Schwartz's wet dream, looks like a poor man's Bryan Cranston to me.
That's great. I would take that any day.
Yeah, that's a great call. Great call. Thank you.
two naked girls in the shower and then breaking into duet is not how most of the films that I end up watching start out with when you see two naked girls in a shower. In fact, there's never any singing. In fact, even one time, two of these girls also had one cup.
But Kevin still does end up like titanium.
McLovin is in this. Where the hell has he been in?
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah. I can actually tell you where he is right now. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I assume besides featured at the bottom of a bunch of discounted DVDs in the Walmart bins.
Wait, where is he now?
Where has he been?
He's on this reality show about, like, could you survive on Mars? It's called Stars on Mars.
Oh, boy.
It's like a bunch of celebrities are on it. Like, Lance Armstrong is on it.
Lance Armstrong? One cheated and one Twitter Francis. McLovin? Oh.
I think he's on it, or maybe he was just like visiting it. I don't know. It's like
special guest star McLovin.
Yeah. And because I didn't take good notes, it's a great point, Kev, because he shows up in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And then I think at some point in the middle, and then there's no explanation as to who he is, why he's there, why he's involved with the acapella thing, who his heavy set seemingly, I guess, gay friend is.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, like, what I don't nothing. Those characters serve no purpose.
I assume that the editor needed to trim scenes and a lot of his shit ended up on the cutting room floor, in which that the case, we didn't need McLovin at all.
Right.
Because everyone's going to stop and go, McLovin, and that's it. And then lose the next five to 10 seconds of dialogue until the theater quiets down. Do I want to go in this story? Not really. The same guy, I didn't write these actors' names down because I don't care. The same guy who keeps falling for Becca looks like Dane Cook, but has less facial pockmarks and is much funnier than Dane Cook. Everyone went nuts over the cup song. I've never seen this before, by the way. I've never seen this film. I was very much underwhelmed. I have seen dudes bang on tar buckets at the Union Square subway station that were more talented than Anna Kendrick flipping around doing flip cup with a song.
There's an entire music video based off of that, by the way.
Guess who's never going to watch it?
Don't do it.
Kevin Israel, I know your weakness, and I believe it. Your weakness is character development. Mine, as you know, a shopping or training montage. But God damn it, not a singing and voguing montage, minus one. The guy following Becker around is creepy like the Ducky from Pretty in Pink character. At least this guy is more charmed than that rape whistle named Ducky.
Jesus.
The riff-off scene must have had every theater nerd splooging in their pants. This is as bad as a dance-off between the Sharks and the Jets. Hopefully these acapella dorks have a shank to liven things up. Oh, wait, they didn't. Every time Anna Kendrick smiles, she looks like she's sneakily letting out a fart. Very awkward smile. Kevin Israel, you hate bad character development. You know what I hate even more? Formulaic storytelling. This is as formulaic as a Police Academy sequel was. Ugh. I'll get that in a second. You talked about the play-by-play. I was so thank God you didn't get it because this was one of my major points. Bob Uecker needs to be hired for every wise-ass play-by-play role, no matter what the scene or sport or thing is. No one did it better than Bob Uecker. Elizabeth Banks and the watered-down Fred Willard have the same comedy punch duo as Daniel Day-Lewis and Gloria Allred. They were terrible. Oh, look, we got the tiny guy from The State and the black guy from The Scrubs in a fight scene. Tell me you were not expecting a dance-off, but instead, we got lazy writing.
No, I forgot all about that scene. That was terrible.
That doesn't happen. Becca's dad comes to bail her out in the middle of the night, as he said, but he's wearing a button-up shirt, sweater, and blazer. For someone who's just probably sleeping at the worst, watching TV, he's dressed like he's about to teach philosophy 102. That doesn't happen. Or 201, I got that fucked up. As a betting man, I'm pretty confident that the leader of a male a cappella group doesn't have the athletic prowess to bullseye someone with a burrito while in a moving car. I expected something along the lines of a Lamar Luttrell throw, if we're being completely honest here.
And what was the point of that?
None.
Like it just happens, and then nothing, and then she's clean.
Right.
And then she has that little spot behind her ear. Like there's, it's nothing. It's
no, save it. Oh, okay. That's again, lazy writing.
Fuels my hate.
All right. An all black a cappella group. I'm pretty sure Drumline right here is going to mop up these honkies, right? They did it.
Nope.
That doesn't happen either, by the way. Black group would have smoked them. The best acting in this film is by far. Far by Anna Kendrick. Why? Because she is pretending to be moved by the insufferably awful garbage Breakfast Club. Anyone who can muster up a fake tear for that island of garbage deserves the Oscar post-haste.
And even if that movie was as good as it was supposed to be.
It wasn't.
Was it a movie that you would cry to? Like was
no.
It a movie that like you would watch in the at the end be cry like not crying.
That was a, anti-establishment. We got like it's the man moment, which is why he raises fist in the end and celebrates it. The tall brunette who looks like Liv Tyler, meow. She had my eye the entire way. And the Asian girl kind of looked like Winnie Cooper. They both had me readjusting my shorts every few minutes.
Oh, boy.
The most surprising element of this film, that Indian kid spitting bars. He should have more album sales than that hack DJ Khaled, that's for sure.
I actually said to my wife, why haven't we heard from him again?
Yeah, he was
he's in stuff.
Is he?
He was he's been in some other stuff, but he was in the Netflix show Never Have I Ever that Mindy Kaling did. And he was in Lin-Manuel Miranda's rap improv group.
He was good.
Yeah, he's good. He's in some stuff. He's not in like as much as he should be for how good he is, but he's kind of around.
You lost me at improv rap group.
Yeah.
I'm sure as fans of this show, you may have an inkling that this sort of theme isn't all something that your buddy KG here is going to find enjoyable. But I said, hey, let's go into this with an open mind. This is an original idea. The storylines are so blatantly diagrammed out like John Madden got in the Telestrator and diagrammed the nickel bump and run coverage. Loner girl doesn't want to be in school. Loner girl doesn't want to join the acapella group. Loner girl caves in and joins the acapella group for no apparent reason. Comedy support from the fat girl. Surprise. Loner girl wants to mix things up, but the uptight Kristen Bell stunt double won't let her change things, who pukes inexplicably. Dork keeps falling around loner girl, but she's not interested. Loner girl finally caves for Dork. We need some antagonistic elements, so let's have the loner girl quit the band. Oh, wait, the magic nerd roommate gets a shot. Gee, let's take a wild guess and see if this guy comes out at Nationals and puts on an Olivier-esque performance. Do you think it's going to happen? It does. And then, loner girl realizes she's being a bitch and apologizes. They implement the changes the loner girl wants, and they win. This was the most paint-by-numbers plot I have seen. I don't know how many films I've watched in the last 20 years, but it's a lot. I've laughed harder reading the Ezra Miller testimonies than I did for this film. Save the funniest person in this film, the magic nerd. God, he was enjoyable. And Rebel Wilson, as much as I've never seen her in anything. I've just seen her in clips. I go, I'm going to fucking hate her. Not bad. Not bad in this. Not great. Not great. But not as much as I thought I would be annoyed. This is what angered me the most. And Israel, you touched on this before. The missed opportunities from Elizabeth Banks and the watered down Fred Willard. Who looks like his cousin got in a car accident. This was the chance. You had every opportunity to fire in real quality jokes in one after another. Boom, 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 boom. Be as mean as you want to. Fire away. Be that Bob Uecker with the one-liners everyone quotes. These were just punchless bitch slaps. And I was even confused with one of the attempts. Like, she calls him out for being misogynistic. All right, guys are better than girls at acapella. Wait a minute. Last I checked, I'm pretty sure girls would be better than acapella than guys are. That didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. The puke scene was so meh. I mean, that there is nothing to that. She makes snow angels. I mean, have everybody puking on each other like Sandlot where they're on the scrambler. All right. Yeah. I can see that. That's fine. Next thing. This is as close to as a musical as it gets. You'd think the song selection would be high caliber. Nope. One song ago, all right, was No Diggity, No Doubt. I had to say that when I go, I'm singing the entire way. Oh. The rest of the song's completely blasé.
Can I say one thing? Sorry.
Just one.
Just one. That reminded me, I wanted to say earlier, Anna Kendrick loves to rap, and that's why she raps in like all her movies, and that's why that's they right. have that. And I was like, oh gosh, great song, but I don't know that I need Anna Kendrick to have her excuse to rap. Okay, sorry.
Anna Kendrick, she got broken up with by somebody, but that's a good reason why to find out that she raps. That's an easily, Bill Hader was dating her. I guess her dropping bars made Bill Hader go, I'm just going to make Barry and have sex with everybody else. Listen, we all know my rule with comedies. You better have a ton of jokes to mask a garbage plot. But since there is an absence of jokes, this plot should be earthquake proof. And it's not. The formulaic aspects drove me nuts. I've seen Beavis and Butthead episodes with more twists in their storylines than this one. I tried to give this film a chance, and I didn't think it would stink as bad as it did, but it's still not good. I also give it a 4 out of 10. Yuck. We're all nodding in agreement. Well, here we go, fella and lady. Critics 5-star reviews. Pitch Perfect combines the tuneful underdog triumphs of Glee with the sassiness of Bridesmaids to produce a sweet-sending, wickedly funny movie. If you mention the words of the show Glee and sassiness in the same review, I'm going to wager that you did not have a Pam Anderson Baywatch poster on your wall while growing up. Pitch Perfect isn't always on key, but it's more impressive than a good karaoke performance, enough to provide laughs and entertainment. No.
Feels like a pretty low bar. It's better than watching someone do karaoke.
Best karaoke performance. You ever see Chappelle's show where he marries Oprah? That is great karaoke, where he sings the Jefferson's theme. Rattles through its routine sports underdog plot with witty banter, great singing, and plenty of verve and energy. Nope.
Verve.
Great band, but a shitty adjective in this spot. Both acerbic and friendly in a way that gives it bite without giving it too much edge. Acerbic? Really? I think you said it best.
Thesaurus.
Yeah. Again, they love to use these words that don't always apply in the context with which they write these stupid reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews. Some of the jokes feel a little forced, and while it takes a while, to get your head around the casual racism for laughs and off-the-wall stereotypes. The multitude of references to the Breakfast Club backfires in a major way, but it's a worthwhile lesson. To burgeoning filmmakers. Don't invoke John Hughes. Don't. I say do it. John Hughes batted 500. He whiffed on a lot of films, especially Dennis the Menace. Ugh. Never saw it, just kidding. As far as the so-called humor goes, this person used O-U-R to finish off humor, so we know where this is going to go. We're operating on a sliding scale from lazy to downright offensive. I mean, it's offensively boring, but yeah. Pitch Perfect isn't particularly bad, but it isn't particularly anything. And that's what's most disappointing about it, that so many talented people could have worked so hard to produce something so nothing. Amazon 5-star reviews. Let's just say this. Let's just say I needed this. I think someone meant to type this in as their Amazon review for an enema kit. Not Pitch Perfect. I'm not a Ron Swanson, but I am a beer drinking, boot wearing, steak eating, diehard loving guy. In other words, I was pretty much not the target audience for this film. But enough of my lady friends convinced me to give it a shot. I got these girls in the Sons of Anarchy and Spartacus, respectively, so I figured I owed them to take it on their word. I love this film for a variety of reasons. I remember seeing the trailer and rolling my eyes and assuming it was something terrible, some terrible Glee-era product trying to capitalize on success. And honestly, it could have been, But that still did not attract my enjoyment. Signed, Jean-Claude Van Damme. So tough and not so tough, guys. Give this one a shot with your partner's spouses. I like they put partners first because they're going to insinuate that a lot of only gay people are going to watch us primarily. At least you'll get some brownie points and you may even enjoy yourself. Heck, the Green Beckers offensive line sure did, and it landed themselves a movie spot because of it. What?
I'm not sure. There might be cameos. I think in the third one, DJ Khaled is in it.
Another reason. Okay. Another one.
The third one.
My daughter, 12 years old, turning 13 in March 2013, kept asking to watch this movie. She had seen it over some friend's house before, as well as hearing about it in school. She had spent the night, same age. She had a friend spend the night, same age. So I decided to see if it was available on Amazon.com Prime. Even though it was not a free video, I did not mind the price, as it is always less expensive to rent a video from Amazon.com than it is to rent one via the on-demand feature from Comcast. I ordered it, started playing it, and went over to my computer to apply my headphones, parentheses, Bose AR-15, which I also bought on Amazon.com, and turn up some of my music so I didn't have to sit through the bunch of current, quote, top 40 teeny bopper music. How wrong I was. This movie is tons of 80s and 90s music, most of it remixed and remixed nicely. Does this person have a brand agreement with all those companies they named? This review reminds you of those magazines you would order and like 18 subscription cards would fall out as you shook the magazine around. Amazon one star reviews. This movie went for the cheapest laugh possible at every turn. Okay, sometimes I laughed, but much of the time I was horrified that I was letting my middle schoolers watch it. And yes, that is the target audience. My daughter said she was the last kid among her friends to see that. Well, consider yourself lucky that you spared your daughter this garbage. As I explained to my ninth grade son, who thought it was hilarious, what? I have another conversation. It's possible to make a stupid movie with cheap laughs that also has some character development and a worthwhile message, such as the bench warmers or dodgeball, which he has coerced me to watch. I never saw that one. Dodgeball is terrible, though, by the way. Boy. Which he has coerced me to watch, and I liked it better than I expected. Signed, the director of the movie Blank Man.
That one. Blank Man.
Remember that one?
I had to go deep. I never saw it.
I didn't either, but the movie follows a well-trodden path, but instead of coming up with a fresh approach or truly funny bits or sharp dialogue, it simply tries to recreate what has been done better. In doing so, it lays itself open to deserved criticism for being just a come-lately copycat. And the music could have been a lot better and should be, given that it is a musical. A boring, pathetic, embarrassingly incompetent movie.
Wow.
Next one. Hate! Last one. My biggest complaint is that this movie can't decide what it wants to be. Is it a coming-of-age story? Is it a gross-out comedy? Is it a competition movie? Is it a romantic comedy? I'm all for gender benders, but the switches in tone and style are so jarring that it seems like someone else has the remote and keeps changing the channel. And so much of it is made out of the fact that they can compete despite not having any bass voices, and they win, in part, because one of the girls has an injury that causes her voice to go down the bass register. Signed, Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas. Okay, so noted. All right.
She had notes.
I hope notes. That really was Fergie, because I'd love to hear her opinion about this movie.
Kevin Israel. Actually, I'm going to go this one. We're going to go to our next session. What's funny? Who's funnier, ChatGPT or KG? So I'm going to read. I asked ChatGPT to write jokes about Pitch Perfect. Here we go. What do you call a Pitch Perfect sequel set in a bakery? Do-re-mi.
Oh, Jesus.
We're doing props now.
Carrot Top over here.
Why did the lead singer of the Bard and Bellas always bring a map to their performances? Because she wanted to make sure they never ended up pitching the wrong tune. What are you nodding?
I hate this segment.
What do you call it when the Bard and Bellas have a dance party after winning a competition? A Pitch Perfect celebration.
Oh my God.
I only did three of those because they gave me 10 and they were embarrassingly awful than the previous one. So I said, I cannot do that to you, my friend. friends. Kevin Israel, did Lana Schwartz gut that sacred cow?
Lana Schwartz did gut this sacred cow. I know I would question if the how sacred this cow is, but this is like just gripping to the rung of sacredness. But Lana, you did. Although I will say this, not to take anything away from what you did because you did a great job, but I watched this and the movie does gut itself a little bit. But
I was just going to say, this movie went out the same way Michael Hutchins from INXS decided to go out, jerking off into a ceiling fan and hanging itself at the same time.
And that's a visual.
Isn't it? I love it. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, Lana Schwartz, thanks for coming and hanging out with us.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next time. Avita Zen.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.